Welcome to the first fully audio episode of The E-Mind with your host, Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. Great to be here with you today. Hey, listen, we're talking today about how perfectionism kills entrepreneurship. It absolutely does. I meet people all the time that are caught up in the perfectionism trap. And here's what they like to say. They like to basically say things like, you know what, I just want to make sure that the quality is exceptional. I just want to make sure that I don't fail. I just want to make sure that it's perfect. Here's the truth. If you're an entrepreneur, you know that you cannot have perfection. You absolutely cannot. Name one thing that launched when it was perfect. It's impossible. And you might say, Carrie, well, you know, the space or the space shuttle or whatever. Here's the point. You can't do it. You have to launch when it's imperfect because this is data. You learn improvement. In fact, there's a LinkedIn founder said one time, if you are not embarrassed at your product when you launch, you waited too long. You know, something like that. The point is this, folks. Perfectionism is pride. Ooh, let me say that again. Perfectionism is pride. Well, how is that, Carrie? Well, let me tell you what. When you are consumed with perfection, let's just be honest. You know what? Who's the focus? You. You are the focus. I just sat down at a picnic the other day with a bunch of entrepreneurs. And one lady turned to me and said, you know, I just keep learning and learning and growing and growing. And I keep feeling like I need to study mentors before I launch my product, before I launch my business. Now, I just met her, so I wasn't rude, but I will meet with her again here very soon. And I'm going to tell her the truth. I'm going to say, you know what? You're not launching because you are focused on yourself. You are self-absorbed. Listen, if you knew of somebody who was dying of thirst in a desert, who needed your product or service to survive, right? They're dying in a desert. You have a glass of cup of cold water and you're sitting there and saying, you know what? I don't know if the glass is perfect. I don't know if there's a spot on the glass. I don't want to give the cup to the person dying of thirst because there may be a spot on the glass. That's ridiculous. And yet we can all see it and we all realize, oh my gosh, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that I am polishing perfect. This is what Seth Godin says. He says, there is a time to ship. I didn't cuss right there. I said, there's a time to ship, S-H-I-P. You need to get your product out to the world. And when you say, you know what, it's not perfect yet, you are focused on yourself. You're not focused on your client. I have launched so many things in my life when they were not perfect. And guess what? People's lives were impacted. Souls were ignited. And on the way, you continue to perfect the model. Of course you do. Of course you make it better. Of course you tweak it. But when you withhold launching your product, your service, your business into the world, you are robbing people of transformation. That's what I'm talking about today. Oh, it's nice to say, well, you know, I'm just procrastinating. I just want it to be perfect. No, you don't. You're focused on yourself. You're not focused on your client. You're not focused on, think about it. I tell people all the time, right? What do I say? I say, write your book to your former stuck self. People often say, I don't know how to write my book. I don't know what tone I should take. I say, write to the person who you were when you were stuck. And all of a sudden, we become very empathetic of that person because that was us. And let me ask you, when you were stuck in that situation, if somebody had an answer for you that would have solved your problems, but it wasn't perfect, what would you have said? You would have said, thank you so much for solving my problem. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your advice. Thank you for giving me aid in my time of need. You wouldn't say, well, you know what? It's not perfect. Who do you think you are? Why are you coming to help me and it's not perfect yet? No. Think about people stuck on a mountain, right? They're stuck on a mountain. They're lost. They're dying of thirst. They're dying of hunger. They're becoming delirious. They're confused. They're anxious. And somebody comes to them and says, you know what? Here's a compass. Here's a way out. I'm going to show you the way. And then what you're going to say to them, well, your compass has a scratch in it. Why are you coming to me with a compass with a scratch in it? I don't want your help. Listen, if somebody says that to you, leave them on the mountain. Okay? That wasn't a good customer anyway. You just keep walking. So what is the e-mind all about? This is the first audio version. Now, I'm going to have guests. I'm going to have video interviews with guests, and these are going to be in studio. But you know what? I'm commuting back and forth to Cedarville. And if you didn't catch the first couple episodes, I really encourage you to listen to them. In fact, I encourage you to follow this podcast in a chronological way, which means if you find it on episode 52 or 27 or 17, I encourage you to go right back to the beginning and listen, because you're going to see this story arc. In fact, at least listen to the intro episode, because that's where I give the framework to this new podcast. I've never done this type of podcast before. It's an experiment, but we're already hearing people telling us stories of transformation. You might say, how? You just launched. Let me tell you, the other day when I interviewed Eve, wow, did you hear that one? She gave away gold, and she's only 19. And she started as an entrepreneur, and she only made her first real sale a few months ago. And guess what? She started imperfectly. In fact, if you're part of my tribe, if you've been around me for a while, you know I say take imperfect action. Take imperfect action. I'd rather have somebody taking action imperfectly any day than someone who perfectly articulates from their inaction position. Because you know what? Oh, I love that. Let's get to that one quote by Roosevelt. I'm going to find it really quick here. About the man in the arena. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to read this for you. I saw it years ago and I read it and I'm like, oh man, this is amazing. So we're going to get this quote right here. In fact, this whole podcast is imperfect. I'm going to record some of the audio episodes from my car. Why? Because I don't think people are saying, you know what? I hear a little noise in the background. So I'm not going to listen to the podcast. If that's the case, this podcast isn't for you. This podcast is a field guide. This podcast is from the trenches. This podcast is not in the studio where there is no struggle and in the studio where everything's pristine and perfect. No, this is a podcast from the field where you are going to be hearing real wartime talk. What I mean by wartime? Entrepreneurship is a war. It's an adventure, but it's also a war. It's a battle. It's fun. It's amazing. And it is the most wild ride you've ever had in your life. And if you are an entrepreneur, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're not, get in the game. All right, but here is that quote. You ready? It says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man or woman who points out how the strong man or woman stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the person who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood." Sounds like a war to me. "Who strives valiantly, who errs." Did you hear that? Quick story. I'm not going to tell you the name of the person. Someone came to me, somebody that I dearly love, and they said, you know what? In fact, they had been hiding the truth. They said, I wanted you to be proud, but I failed. And so that's why I didn't tell you. I wanted you to be proud. I said to this person, I am so glad you failed. I'm so glad you reached out for a bigger goal than you thought you could do and you fell short. And I told this person, I said, I would much rather you take a bigger goal, go after it and fail, than to sit back and play small. And this person was surprised. They couldn't believe I was telling them this, because in life, we think success is not failing, when really failing is not failing. You know what I'm saying? You are failing when you do not fail. I fail every single day. Am I overwhelmed as a new professor at Cedarville University? Heck yeah. Have I been encountering things where I already see there's a gap? Oh yeah. Am I okay with it? This is normal for me. If you've been following me for a while, you know that every single day my goal is to fail. My goal is to do things that I never thought I could do. My goal is to pursue things that are way beyond me, because you know what? It stretches me. If you've studied my book Unhackable, you know that I studied Stephen Kotler and Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, the father of flow, and they call it the challenge competence ratio. You want stretch, but not snap. Too little challenge, you're bored. Too much challenge, you're overwhelmed. You want to be stretched, because when you are in the challenge competence ratio, that special magic place where it's beyond you just a little bit, you know what happens? You grow. And as you grow, you step into flow, because you cannot get into flow, the optimal state of human performance, unless there is struggle. That is the first phase of flow. You need to have struggle. The obstacle is the way. Ryan Holiday. What stands in the way becomes the way. Marcus Aurelius. You must be someone who is encountering deep challenge. Why do you think God is allowing challenge in your life? He wants you to grow. You know the story of the butterfly. The butterfly, the man who sees the butterfly trying to emerge from a cocoon. What does he do? He has compassion. He picks up the cocoon. He begins to cut it off the butterfly, thinking that the butterfly needs help. The butterfly is struggling. He wants to have compassion. What happens? He cuts the cocoon off, and the butterfly never flies, because it did not use its wings to break free from the cocoon. The fluid never went to its wings, and it never fully formed, because it had lack of struggle. My friend, this is you. You are an entrepreneur. You are wired that way. Or if that's not your profession, at a minimum, you need to think like an entrepreneur. So let's finish this quote. Let's finish this episode. Here we go. I'll pick it up. The credit belongs to the person who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself or herself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he or she fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his or her place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. If you want to be a soul on fire, you need to get in the game. You need to get off the bench, out of the seats in the stadium, on the field. You need to get in the game. You need to think like an entrepreneur. This is the E-Mind with your host, Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. I'll talk to you next time. I'll introduce you to people who are doing it, who are failing, who are winning. And folks, this is the exciting ride of the entrepreneur.